The gospel lesson this morning is taken from John, John chapter 10, and I'll be reading today verses 11 to 18. If you had one of those Bibles that were red letter versions, well, these words would be in red. Listen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself, if necessary. A hired person is not the shepherd, not the true shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees the wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd, the true shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. And in the same way, my Father knows me, as I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice, and then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why my Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life. And so I am free to take it up again. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to raise it up again. I receive this authority personally from my Father. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for reminding us today that you're the true and good shepherd. And so we ask that as we hang out in the pen today, that you would remind us of your love and share your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. The first farmer said to the second farmer, if you had two fields, wouldn't you share one of your fields with someone who needed it? Why, sure I would, the farmer said. If you had two houses, someone was in need, would you share one of those houses if someone needed it? Of course I would, the farmer said. If you had two tractors, someone down the road needed it, would you share your tractor with someone who needed it? Absolutely, the farmer said. Well, suppose you had two horses. Would you give one to your neighbor? You would, wouldn't you? No, I couldn't do that. Well, why not? Well, because I have two horses. You know, when a shepherd has the sheep, we know that every single sheep matters. Maybe you remember some of the gospel stories before about the lost sheep. You remember that one? How many sheep in the story were there in the pen? 100. And that's right, there were 100, but one got away, right, so there was 99. So how many sheep were lost? And what did the shepherd do? Amazing. That parable, the parable of the sheep, was followed or preceded by the parable of the lost coin. And that one, a woman had 10 coins. Guess how many she lost? One, yep. So she had how many? And so she went out and turned the house upside down until she found it. Now the third parable, if you will, so popular today in movies and books to have a trilogy. Well, there's a trilogy to the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And it's called the parable of the lost what? It's the parable of the lost son. These three appear together in the gospel story. Jesus told these parables always together. Now, in the parable of the lost son, how many sons did the father have?
Two.
Two, yes. And how many ran away?
One.
So how many did he have at home?
One.
And who went out to look for him?
Nope.
Think. Not a trick question, but you might feel like it is, right? Okay, because we could forget, we would assume like the dad would, right? Because you're thinking, if I was the dad, I'd be going right out there, and I'd just be like, just no search is too difficult. I would just be looking. But no, in this case, there was no one that went out after the lost son. Not one person. Now, as the story continues, and this is really sort of the point of Jesus' trilogy, it's one that's given a little more treatment, more details emerge. We find and learn later that in Jesus' culture, the person that was responsible for the siblings in the family was the firstborn child, firstborn son. And in this story of the lost son, the elder brother did not go out after the lost son. And as we visit that story, maybe you want to look it up later. It's in Luke 15. That you know, there's lots of reasons why the elder son. He was angry, he was upset, he was jealous. There's all sorts of things that you might surmise. But the point of Jesus' parables is that we might know that when something is lost, you go out to look for it. That's assuming, of course, if it has value. How many times have you lost your wallet and just decided, you know what, I spent an hour looking for this thing, I'm just going to give up. Did you ever say that? Probably not. How about if you lose your car? You know, I've looked high and low, I just don't remember where I parked, you know, I'm just going to go get another one. Because, you know, after all, financing near 0%, it's like they're giving money away. I didn't like the color no matter what. No, you just wouldn't do that because it has value to you. And so you'll look high and low for something that may be lost. You know, the shepherd, we often think about in this passage today, and as we think about Jesus as the good shepherd, we know that Jesus pays attention to the sheep. And I know the association probably isn't very heartwarming to think that you're a sheep. They do stink. I know that because remember, I brought in those three sheep in that church one day and shocked everybody. Because I wanted them to understand that Jesus, in using this example, he wasn't like creating this, you know what, I've always had a thing for sheep. I think I'll just start talking about sheep. And I'll explain to everybody how they smell and how they kind of just make this strange, annoying noise when they baa all the time. And you know what, they're about as dumb as they come. And in fact, we need dogs to watch the sheep. For instance, have you ever heard of a search sheep? How about sometime you lose your kid, and the search, I hope this never happens, just saying, like Melissa's son, she's in D.C. today, by the way, for a conference, but her son, Keith, is on search and rescue. Chuck, you have a search and rescue here in West Cape May, don't you? Where's Chuck? Yes. And so imagine that when you find that there's some, maybe a neighbor who's lost, oh my gosh, we're sending out search and rescue, I sure hope everything's okay. You find out later that Chuck here at the West Cape May Fire Company sent out the search sheep. Oh my gosh. Listen, that person's never going to be found. The sheep need to know, how is this a pen? Do I stay in here? Is this really important? Who's going to feed me today? I have no clue. Who's that? Oh, is that the shepherd? I hope it's the real shepherd, because I got faked out once and almost became somebody's meal. And so the sheep, you don't have rescue sheep. You don't even have watch sheep. Last night we were awakened to my dog, Finn. He doesn't bark a lot, but he just started. He's a hound dog, so he just started howling, like in the middle of the night. I almost wanted to go up and like I cared, but he just must have heard somebody outside. He's a great watchdog. He's not a watch sheep. If I had a sheep as a pet, I would not be hearing anything except probably baa all day long for absolutely no reason at all. You see, but Jesus didn't have to explain when he uses the example of the sheep in the pen, the shepherd, the good shepherd, there's the bad guy, right? The one who's just paid to watch the sheep. And the one that's just paid to watch the sheep, although you could have good people on the payroll who actually care about the sheep, the example that Jesus gives in the parable is about that hired hand who only cared about the paycheck. And so, naturally, which is not a bad thing to do because you are the hired hand, right? So you are doing it for the paycheck. But he adds here in the text, and who cared little for the sheep. So this is like a hired hand paid for shepherd who really liked dogs is angry that he had to work with the smelly sheep and just doesn't really care if one gets away. And so Jesus compares himself to someone like that. He even says that the thief comes in to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Jesus is the gate to the sheep. He says in another place that he wants the sheep to go in and to go out of the pen and find pasture, nourishment, abundant living, because inside the pen is safety, but the sheep, under the shepherd's care, can wander outside the pen during the day. They can eat, they can play. I don't know, do sheep play? I guess they do. They just baa all day long. That's where they get so smelly. But finally, at the end of the day, the shepherd just gets those dogs out there, the smart rescue dogs, and sends the dogs out, and they corral those sheep back into the pen so they can stay there for safekeeping. Now, that might be more than you wanted to know or remember about sheep. But I want you to know that that explanation was not in our text today, because Jesus did not just come up with the idea, hey, I just think I'll talk about sheep. It's everybody knew about sheep. In Jesus' culture, sheep was not only something that people wore, it was also something that people ate. That sheep were sort of our equivalent of the cow. Now, the cows aren't near as smelly. They're much harder to raise, more costly to raise. And let's face it, you know, we're really in a conscious culture now. We don't want to, like, advertise leather. But for whatever reason in Jesus' culture, the wool and the meat provided sustenance for human beings, just like you and me. But he didn't have to explain why the metaphor of the sheep. The point is, not really about the sheep, is it? The point is that you're not going to find anybody that loves sheep more than the true shepherd, the good shepherd. The word good there is the Greek word aletheia, and it means true. It just means truth. It's the shepherd for sure. It's the real deal shepherd. It's the shepherd who's a shepherd heart and soul. It's the shepherd that isn't paid to be the shepherd. The shepherd is the shepherd who loves the sheep. You couldn't find him anywhere else but tending the sheep. Well, except for the middle of the passage today, which I think most times we tend to overlook. We like the beginning of things. We like the end of things. But sometimes you got to stop and say, what happened in the middle? So in the middle of our passage, it says this. Again, Jesus is speaking. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen, and I need to gather and bring them too. It's right in the middle. Now, if you were just a sheep, you'd be kind of dumb. You wouldn't even really notice that it was in the middle. And you wouldn't really care much. But you see, the shepherd isn't always with the sheep in the pen. Sometimes the shepherd has to depend on the hired hands. Not that they don't like the sheep, but they're not the real true shepherd, because the shepherd is always out looking for the lost sheep, the ones that haven't yet been found. You see, so when we think back to the parable of the lost sheep with the 100 in the pen, there's always going to be something missing. And if you take all the sheep on the mountain, there are some sheep that have never been in the pen. There are some sheep that don't want to be in the pen. There are some sheep, they don't want to be around sheep. There are some sheep that don't like other sheep. There are some sheep that don't like the shepherd. There are some sheep that don't like each other. There are some sheep that are a little smarter or not so smart, a little older or a little younger. There are some sheep that like to play, and some sheep that just like to sit back and read a book. There are all kinds of different sheep, but Jesus, as the good shepherd, cares about all of them, even the ones that aren't in the pen. But most of the sheep can't possibly understand that. So, during the day, when the pen gate is open and the sheep are out on the hillside grazing, playing, reading, just sort of frolicking as sheep do. The dogs haven't been called yet because it's recess. There's just no need to do that yet. The shepherd then is away. The shepherd is away on other mountains. The shepherd is away down in the valley. The shepherd is out training others to be shepherds so that everybody can get in the pen, as Jesus predicts here in this passage. I will bring them in as well, he says. They'll also recognize my voice. And then we will be one big flock and have one true shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. I freely lay down my life for all the sheep. You know, it's great to be a sheep. It's great to be in the pen. It's great to be safe and great to be secure. And different sheep need different things in different parts of their life. Baby sheep need a lot of attention. Older sheep, they take care of the baby sheep. Older sheep know to go back into the pen at 5 o'clock at night. And some of the teenage sheep probably want to stay out till midnight. And they kind of try to be elusive to that shepherd. Oh, I'll get away from them. I'll show them. Or maybe they'll try to sneak back in the pen thinking the shepherd didn't even know they were missing. But if your mom was anything like my mom, the shepherd knows everything. The mom knows everything. And so that shepherd knows the sheep well enough to know what they need, knows what they eat, knows what they need to feel safe, and knows what they need when they need some exercise. And they like to go out and try some risky things for a change, to go out and really explore the mountain, maybe even help the shepherd attract some other sheep. Because I suppose it would be a little strange to have a shepherd walk down the hill in search of the sheep. Maybe a few of those sheep tag along. So that when the good shepherd finds some stray sheep down at the bottom, those sheep can associate with the sheep that he already has with them, and he guides them all back to the big pen. You know, we Presbyterians have a pretty big pen. There's lots of Presbyterians. Do you know that the largest Presbyterian church in the world today is in Korea? And the second largest Presbyterian church is in the Middle East. And we have lots of large Presbyterian churches, of course, in the United States, too. Maybe some of you have visited them. I have. Maybe you've been in large churches, and I want you to think about that for sheep. It's a big pen. It's a big, huge place where people gather. And the only cool thing about the number of people in the pen is that finally, when that recess happens, for us, that's right at the end of the benediction. Maybe we should say recess. At the end. Because that's when all the sheep are let out. That's when all the sheep go out and they go to play, they go to read, they go to study, they go to serve, they go to watch other sheep, they go to take care of sheep. Some of the sheep need taking care of themselves. Some of the sheep need help. Some of the sheep refuse help and they're just out trying to help everybody else. It takes every kind of sheep to be in Jesus' pen. And so our sheep pen here at Cold Spring Church is a pen that is like Jesus' gate. It swings open. It welcomes everybody. We have sheep that come for a season during the summertime, and then they just as quickly leave a few months later when vacation is over. We'll be getting some sheep into our pen during the summer. They'll only be here for a weekend visiting Cape May. And then they'll be off again. That Monday morning, maybe even, is the end of their rental. When is the rental weekend here? Is there set days? Saturdays. All right. So if they're here for Sunday, they're starting their week. So they might be starting their week with us, and they'll be here for a week or two. And that's why it's so important that we as the sheep in the pen know how to accept and welcome other kinds of sheep. So some of the sheep may be a different height, a different color, a different persuasion of some kind. They might be from a different mountain. They might be strange looking. They might be someone that looks just like you. But in any case, they're visiting our pen. And we want them to feel welcomed. And they always do. If you notice last week's connection, I included a few of the comments that we received recently from people that have visited our church. Just amazing what some of the people so graciously have said. And I may put that in the printed briquette so others who don't get it online can read it there too. But the point is that Jesus is always focused not only on the sheep already in the pen, but Jesus' eye is always out looking for other sheep. And we need to have the shepherd's heart too. Do you know that when you greet someone friendly, when you mention Cold Spring Church, do you know that when you share a blessing you've received, nobody else in church may know it. It might have been because your name was on a prayer list or a friend of yours you prayed for. It might have been just a connection, just a thought, just a history. But when that comes up in a conversation, other people can know, oh my gosh, it looks like Jesus the Good Shepherd has an awesome pen over there. Maybe I should check it out. Because our doors are open. We welcome sheep of all kinds to come and to worship. And then at the end, during recess, that benediction comes and all of us are sent out on the mountain to graze and to serve in the shepherd's name. You know, the disciples didn't really get the idea that Jesus was out after other sheep too. They thought Jesus only came for them. So that when Jesus rose from the dead, they were kind of surprised that he showed up and talked to them at all, because shouldn't he be up there in heaven like doing something? But then when Jesus ascended into heaven, 50 days later at the end of Easter, we'll be doing that on Ascension Sunday, that when Jesus ascended into heaven, do you remember the last words he's told the disciples before he ascended before their eyes? He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem and to Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Because that is truly what the shepherd's heart is. It's not just getting people into the pen. It's sending the sheep out to connect with other sheep. So friends, this week, why don't you just wear the label, "I'm a sheep, and nobody loves me like the shepherd," and that God has put you here in order to connect with other sheep and lead them to a safe place to pasture and to hope in the abundant life. Let us pray.